Everyone had a good day. We've been blessed with a beautiful day, and always good that we can come back and be together this second time. And it's always an honor and privilege for me to be able to stand before you and present a lesson from God's Word. But we know the importance of being encouraged by His Word, and we know the importance of being here together and how valuable it is to us, because just like Brother Frank mentioned in his prayers, we know that we can grow weaker. And the one way that we can remain strong is always being here together, being encouraged together. And the source of our strength comes right from right here, the Bible itself. These words right here, we know they are alive. They have life to them. And we also know these words are the words that we'll have to be judged by one of these days. So why would we not want to live, learn more about it? Because just as we read over there in the book of Hosea, you know, the Lord said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So many people today, it's not an excuse to not have that knowledge because it's so readily available. One of the most published books of all time is the Bible itself. And yet so many people ignore the warnings. And, you know, the world today, in the way that they view sin, they just think it's just something that someone's come up with and it don't apply to them. They don't believe in it at all. You know, I know I've mentioned this before, but I saw he was one of those televangelists that he was asked why he didn't mention sin that much. He said, "Well, people know they sin. They don't need to be told they sin." Yes, they do. If people are never told that they are doing wrong, that their lifestyle is wrong, that their religion is wrong, they will never change. It's just like children. When we've all raised children at one time, they had to be corrected when they were growing up. If they wasn't corrected, what would have happened to them? Why, they'd have been running wild, just like we see so much today. They're running wild. There's no correction. But there's also no correction going on in the world of religion, because people, and not even those who don't even believe in religion, period, they think that their lifestyle is just fine. I'll live my life the way I want to. But we know in reading God's Word, those of us that have a knowledge of it, you know, sin is our enemy. We know who's behind it. We know that the devil wants us to sin, and he is always tempting us. And we know that, like Paul mentioned over there, we are aware of his devices, and he has a whole slew of those devices that he can work on us with. And that's why it's important that we keep reminding ourselves to stay as far away from sin as we possibly can. You know, we know that as Christians, we have to have a different character from the world. We know that we can't be, there's places we cannot go. There's people we cannot be around anymore. We just have to be able, we can't conform to this world. We know we need to be transformed. There's something different about us as Christians. And, you know, the last two lessons I have brought on Sunday evening, one there was concerning temptation, which we know that what can lead to sin. And then last week, I mentioned about a lesson on sin. And this one right here concerns sin too as well. But at the same time, this one right here has a little twist to it, because it's not just the things that we can personally do, but the ones that, you know, being around people, the wrong kind of people, and sharing in their sins. This is what Paul noted over there in 1 Timothy. And if you'll turn with me over there in your Bibles to chapter 5 and in verse 22, Paul makes a statement right here, especially in the last part of this verse right here. He said, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." You know, that's something else. That's a hard thing to do at times, keeping ourselves pure. In order to stay away from, to stay pure, you have to stay away from things that will contaminate us. The sin is what contaminates us. Staying away from, like I said earlier, staying away from certain places, certain people. You know, that's what we have to do. We know that we have to look at ourselves, like Peter noted over there, as temporary dwellers. We're just pilgrims. We're going through this land right now, just like the nation of Israel, when they were going through the wilderness. You know, they still had to, on that journey, they were supposed to still be worshiping the Lord. And on our journey now, we're worshiping the Lord. And one of these days, the things that is faith, it will come to light and he'll be sight. And we'll see the things come to pass that we have put our faith in, that we put our trust in, when we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ return. And if we're in the grave, it won't make any difference. Just like Brother Frank's lesson this morning. We'll be resurrected on that day. We'll meet him in the air, and we'll spend eternity in heaven. And that's the reason why that we are paying so close attention to staying away from sin and not sharing in it. As the Apostle Paul noted there, neither be a partaker of other men's sins and keeping thyself pure. Keep ourselves away from certain situations. We know that 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 tells us what sin is. It's a transgression of the law. Whose law? The Lord's law. It's what he says. It's the things that we know in this Bible right here. Christ said that we'll be judged by him. We know that he'll be the judge. And I know I've said this many times before, but I am so thankful that he is the judge because I know he'll be a righteous judge. I know that he came down here and he had to endure all the same temptations that we go through. He knows exactly what we're going through. So he will be a fair judge. But at the same time, being fair means that he will make everyone follow the same standard. We'll all have to give an answer for what we've done in this body, whether it was good or bad. Even our idle words there. But the reason why we need to not be partakers of other men's sins, you know, we read over there in Galatians 5 and verse 9, it talks about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, this was something that was also noted over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 concerning a man that was committing fornication who they were still fellowshipping with. Now, this man, as Paul noted and told them, no, you need to quit fellowshipping with this man. And he said it was for his good that they stop it, but also for the good of the congregation. Why? He said a little leaveneth the whole lump. It just takes a little bit of leaven, and the whole lump of dough there will be affected. Just like a cancer. Just like the disease of leprosy. How that they could spread. All those different, that's the reason why sin is looked upon that way, is because it will spread. It has an effect. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us to be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Being around the wrong people, it can corrupt us. And it will have an effect on us. And you know, sin is something that's it's deceitful in its nature. That's what the devil's good at, is deceiving people, thinking that it's no big deal, that it's all right. It's okay if you do it. Now, he'll say, now, Dennis, it's all right if you do it, but now, Jeff, he better not do it. If he does, it's bad, it's wrong. No, it's bad for Dennis, too. But some of the things I want to look at in this lesson is, you know, is like he said, neither be a partaker of other men's sin, committing a sin together. A good example of that is over there in the book of Acts in chapter 5 is the wife and husband of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, as we all know what took place with them over there in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 7, there they had conspired together to hold back a portion of a sum right there that they had received when they had sold a possession. Now, all they had to do when they came to Peter, as we all know, is say, we sold it for this much, but we're giving you this much. That's all they had to do. But look at what they did there. It says, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So you see, they were there together. They were both in on that. And what did it do? As we read on there, it cost both of them their lives. You see, that's what sin does. If you're in on it by yourself, or if you're and only with someone else. But that's what happens a lot of times. People will get together, you know, like these gangs that we hear so much about. You know, used to you only heard about gangs in some of these big cities hearing about. But now it's beginning to spread everywhere. And a lot of it comes down to young men and young women that just wants to be a part of something. And they find that in these gangs. And they're brought into that, and they think it's all right. Well, I'm being with somebody. But at the same time, look at all the things that they were doing that's so bad. Look with me over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Look there, starting at verse 10. As Solomon wrote there, he said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." He said, don't give in to them. If they're trying to draw you in, don't give in. He said in verse 11, he said, "If they say, come with us, let us lay await for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." Yeah, come on in. We'll all split there what we're going to get out of this, you see. He said, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." And that's what these gangs do that we read about, hear about in the news at times. They lure these other, as many in as they can, and they entice them, letting them know, well, here's what we're going, you'll get. We'll go and we'll rob this, and we'll ransack this, and we'll loot this right here, and we'll all split the spoils of it. And that's what Solomon is talking about. But you see, they were all being lured in and ganging up to do these things. Just like we read over there in the Old Testament book of Numbers over there. When you look in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers, we read about a man named Korah. And this man right here, he and some others there, they got together and they conspired to go up against Moses. Now, we all know what the end results of it was. The earth swallowed them up when you read on through that chapter. But look at what took place right here, first of all, in verses 1 through 3. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" Yes, they were conspired. They got together there, you see. And he caused others to join in on that and caused them to all be a part of that sin that took place. Now look over there, starting at about verse 23. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So you see, the Lord was telling Moses, you warn them to get away from these men. Stay away from these men. You're going to be a part of their sins too as well. This is something that the young people out here need to learn as well today. Those that are lured into these gangs, all they're doing is being, if they get caught, you think them others there that lure the men cares? No, they're just going about their business. But they'll have to pay the price for that, you see. But reading on right here, it says, "So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their children, And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. So just being maybe not the gang leader, but just being a part of it, they were still part of something that was wrong, and it was against God there, and they were swallowed up by the ground there. And the same, you may not be getting swallowed up by the ground, but just being a part of the same situation right there, it's going to lead to being your damnation. That's all you can say. Now, in this world, we all know that it's full of sinners, and we have to be careful not to be a part of it. Now, we read back over here in the New Testament book of Ephesians, over here in about chapter 5 of Ephesians, starting at about verse 3. He said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Now, this is just another name for Christian saints. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Yes. And when he also said there, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." You know, when you live in filthiness, you take like filthy communication or filthy actions, sinful actions, eventually that's the same kind of talk. If you're around people that speaks, you know, filthy talk, eventually it's going to rub off on you too. And as Paul was noting right there, don't let them lure you into that. Don't be a part of that. You know, this is why it's more important than ever today, and it's always been important, but you know, with around our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever it may be, to let them know, you know, they need to be so very careful who they hang out with, who they're around, what can be the end results. We see it all the time. Young children ending up in prison because they've been led astray. But not just that. Adults today, Christians. Now, he was talking about Christians here. He said, saints, don't be around the wrong people. They can cause you to become, well, just start forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. Little by little, you just fall away, and it gets easier and easier each and every time. You know, Brother Jeff has noted before about how that during the time of COVID there, and we had to cancel services several times, you know, it caused a weakness. To a point, it caused it in all of us. I know it did me. Brother Jeff said it did. It affects us in some way when we're not here together. But it gets easier every time, don't it? But, you know, that's why we need to be so very careful, because not being a part of these sins out here and the sins of others, you know there's people that commit sins that down through the ages, people are still doing it because of the attitude and the actions that they had. You know, you take like Jeroboam and what he did over there, what he caused Israel to sin. You know, that was a common expression as you read on through the Bible, that how about Jeroboam and how that he made Israel to sin. Look with me over there in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, if you will. Excuse me. Chapter 12, and starting at about verse 25. It says, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt there, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, I know we all know the story there, what he did. But he said, it's just not convenient. It's just too far for you to have to go. Here, just worship here. But that was not right. They had specific commands on where to go worship and how to worship. And here, what did he do? He made two calves of gold. On top of that, he even had idols there and told them to worship that. You see, so he not only did he affect himself, and it was a sin for what he did, but also he caused others to sin. And that's what. And this was something that was remembered, and it continued that way. Because when you look in 1 Kings also in chapter 15, and you look down there about verse 34, look at what it says. Now here it was talking about the war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, backing up right about verse 32, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. You see, all them generations later, he was... What that actions that he did there caused others to fall by the wayside too. Caused that influence there caused others to sin. And this is something that was because of something that he had took upon himself. The influences there. And you know, Stephen, when he was speaking to them people over there in the book of Acts in chapter 7, and we all know what their end results was there toward the end of his sermon, how that he told them that they were so stiff-necked. But he also told them there, as your fathers did, so do you. Something that had been done by their forefathers all down through the ages, they had continued to do the same thing. Just like the actions there of Jeroboam, it carried on. And it was the wrong thing. And just like, you know, we all know that Christ in Matthew chapter 23, when he was speaking to the Pharisees and scribes, and how that numerous times he told them that they were hypocrites, and how that he had said how that they their actions there and what they had done, and how that they were doing just like their forefathers there. In Matthew 23, starting in verse 29, he says, Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents and a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? They were just like them. It had been something there because of one action of a man, one man's sin, and down through the ages, the influence, how that it had taken hold and held on to people all the way down through the ages there. And that's why it's so very dangerous today that we have to be careful not to be a partaker of other people's sins there. And we may not actually commit the sin ourselves, but at the same time, if we're not careful, we can consent to those that do it. You know, you take like Saul of Tarsus before he was Paul. When you read toward the end of that Acts chapter 7, verses 57 and 58, he consented to the death of Stephen. He consented to the stoning that Stephen received there. You know, they laid their coats at his feet. And we all know what he did before he became the Apostle Paul, how that he persecuted the church. You see, he was a partaker of it. He didn't throw a rock, but he was a partaker of it, you see. It's just like people today may be working in a liquor store down here. Well, I don't drink. I don't touch the stuff. Well, you're selling it. That's just as bad. You're partaking of that. Someone else's sin. Or working at a store that sells lottery tickets. Oh, I'd never buy the lottery tickets. You're selling them. You're being a partaker of someone else's sin. It's things that if we're endorsing it, then we're just as guilty. And no, it's just like, you know, a Lord's church has no business associating with denominational churches. We can't be a part of someone that preaches doctrines that's contrary to the Word of God. Didn't Christ say that their doctrines were vain worship? We can't be a part of that. If we were to be a part of it and go along with them, that would be just like condoning them. It's like the same thing today. You know, if we don't correct our children, if we don't show them something is wrong, and we don't say anything, it's just like saying, it's all right, go ahead and do it. And that's why it's so important that we do not be a part of that. Look it over there in 2 John, if you will, and verses 10 through 11, concerning how that we need to be so very careful about what we do and the actions that we take with those that don't teach the same doctrine. Well, let's look up there at verse 9. It says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So you see, it's not a matter of opinions. It's just a matter of what are we teaching? What are we living by? Is it the doctrine of Christ or is it the doctrine of man? And he goes on to say, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Yes. So you may not teach that doctrine. You may not live with that doctrine. But if you're condoning it, if you say Godspeed, God be with you. No, the thing to do is you say, well, wait a minute, we'll look down here in the Bible. And you tell me what you're teaching and I'll show you in the Bible the wrong of it. If there's wrong in it, and it need show them that they're teaching things that's wrong. I know the last conversation I had with a man there, and they've never been back to the house since that I know of, unless it was while I wasn't there. It was, as we all know, the Jehovah Witness, and he began to tell his doctrine, and I showed him verses there. I spoke to him verses from the Bible that were contrary to that. He said, that's one way to look at it. I said, that's the only way. I said, what else is it? I said, if you can't believe in what the Bible says, what else are you going to believe in? I said, you may well not even believe in any of it. And he left, and I've never seen him no more. And got letters from him, and I sent him some of our tracts back there, and never heard from him again. But you see, I couldn't say, well, you believe your way, and I believe my way. No, it don't work that way. And it would be just like condoning it. And so that's the reason why that we, even today, we still need to be so very careful. Not to be condoning it, not to be a part of it. You know, and something else, too. If we know of someone else's guilt and fail to rebuke it and expose it, you know, look at what Ezekiel's responsibility was. Ezekiel had a responsibility. And he said over there in Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Now this was the Lord speaking to him. He said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." He said, yeah, he said, if I tell you, and he tells us today in his word, to warn those that are living in a life of sin. He tells us to tell those who have obeyed the gospel and have strayed, to warn them about forsaking the assembly of themselves together, to warn them of their lifestyle, to warn them about their priorities they have in their life, that they're letting things take a priority over serving the Lord, to warn them, just as Ezekiel is told to. He said, if you warn them and they don't listen, it's on their head, you see. It's just like when, remember Eli over there in 1 Samuel, his sons there that were doing those evil things, and he got wind of it, and he all he did was, you know, he gave them just a light rebuke. They should have been thrown out of the priesthood. They should have been actually, according to the law, killed. But he didn't do anything about it. And it cost him dearly. Today, when people don't correct their children, it costs the heartbreak of seeing a child either be killed as a result of the lifestyle they chose to live in, or in prison, or whatever the case may be. But you see, we have a duty there of speaking out and correcting. When a Christian, is living in an error, just like Paul noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you need to do something about that man that's committing that fornication. Tell him that it's wrong. Don't fellowship with him. He'll do something for his sake and the congregation's as well. We can either be a good influence or we can be a bad influence. But at the same time, we can't be a part of these things. And just like teaching and supporting doctrines that come from men, we have to make a judgment call on what's right and what's in God's Word. And all we have to do is look in His Word, and it tells us. And that's the righteous judgment. But to go along with some of these things, just like Paul noted over there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, do not be a partaker of other men's sins. That's why we need to keep ourselves unspotted from this world, just like James said there in James chapter 1. Keeping ourselves pure, as the Apostle Paul said. And yes, that's a job. Because there's so many things going on in the world today. We see so much disregard for human life, disregard for life, no fear of God anymore in their lives, and their lives, they may not even come out and say it in those words, but their lifestyle reflects that, you see. And we need to be on guard and not allow those things to affect us. That we need to, just as Christ said, watch. As Paul noted there, being steadfast. Faithful unto death, as Christ said in Revelation 2, the last part of that verse 10, to receive that crown of life. But don't be a partaker of these things in this world that can cause us to lose our soul. I thank you for the time. There's so much more that we could went over, and I know time didn't allow it all, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to look into some scriptures with you and this lesson right here, and I hope it's been of some interest to you. And as always, we are always welcome. And anyone that might obey the gospel, might need prayers of the church, whatever it might be, you can come, as Brother Jeff leads us in this song.